All right, so you're listening to this podcast right now, London is Blue, and guess what? We host our podcast on anchor.fm. That's right. If you're looking to host your own podcast, this is the easiest free way to get started. It's got a content creation tool, allows you to record and the podcast right from a phone. That's right. Don't even need a computer, but you can do it there too. They'll also help you distribute it, which is probably the most challenging part. You don't want to have to mess with that. They got you covered. You can get it right on a Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as any other place podcasts are found. And you know what? You can monetize it too. Make a little cash for sharing your great content with the world. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one individual place. So you know what? Head over to your app store, download the Anchor app, or head to anchor.fm to get started if you're ready to launch your podcast and make it happen.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
This is William.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back. Another episode of London is Blue podcast. This is our second episode of the week. So if you missed the first one, go back and listen. We talked about the contract extensions as announced a date of recording for Olivier Giroud and Willie Caballero. This time, though, we are moving on. As always, your host, Brandon, joined by Nick and Dan. Special, special guest this week, Mike Ryan Ruiz. I guess of, you know, the Mic'd Up podcast, the Chelsea FC podcast. So if you aren't familiar with this voice, you're missing out. Go check it out. Obviously, Mike, you know me. Massive, massive Petr Cech fan. So you getting to talk to the legend himself was quite exciting for me. So obviously a lot of fun stuff you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, it was a hell of an experience to open up a Zoom chat and see Petr Cech and join the room. It's pretty surreal. One of my all-time favorite keepers as well. And it's starting a bizarre streak on Chelsea Mic'd Up. Apparently, not only the official Chelsea podcast, but the official podcast of soccer players with metal plates in their heads, as we had Petr Cech and then Brian McBride on this week's episode. So we got to find a third to complete the hat trick, a third player with plates in his head. I'm open to any and all suggestions.
Do the kids still say weird flex, bro? but quite random, to say the least. This episode, though, Nick, is going to be all about that night in Munich. Obviously, we're about a week removed from when it all happened. But I mean, are you really going to get mad at us for finding another excuse to relive that?
No, if it was a Tuesday in December, I think we'd find joy in our hearts to talk about this. You know, the club obviously put on a huge kind of 8 years removed content library type of performance last week. And it was fantastic to relive not only like the match itself from the 80th minute on, because you don't want to remember the earlier part of that match, which was not as fun to watch. But I think it brings everybody back, Mike, to where they were watching the match, how they were feeling watching the match, who they were with watching the match. Like, one of my favorite things about this whole experience has been everyone bringing back all their old videos of the last penalty and like watching the crowd around them and people going crazy. So, well, I mean, tell us your story. Like, where were you? What were you doing? Who were you with?
I was actually making coffee in the kitchen the other day. I was drinking out of my Super Frank Lampard coffee mug, and I heard my wife on her cell phone, and I heard a video pop up, and I recognized it instantly. I just knew exactly what she was watching. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't have the memories pop up. And sure enough, 8 years ago, she goes, this was 8 years ago. She wasn't even with me in the pub. I just sent her that video of me celebrating at a soccer pub that's no longer around. And I look at that video, I'm like, man, what's going on with that hair? This is before I started getting haircuts regularly and go to the gym. And I was like, You have the whole world. Your whole life is ahead of you, young buck. But just know, it never gets better than that one moment in 2012 in Munich. And in reliving all these things, you know, I remember that match so vividly, but so many crazy things happened within that match that otherwise memorable moments in a soccer match, you tend to forget because they just sort of get overshadowed by, you know, Drogba 88 and the Robin Cech penalty sequence. I forgot that Neuer was called on so early in that PK sequence and just calm, collected, buries it. I had forgotten it briefly. It was so great. And Chelsea did such a great job with their social media because I know, given the current state of things, it was a welcome vacation from all of that. And while I was buried in my phone throughout the day watching those videos, I forgot everything else that was going on. It took me back to a time that I was really the most joy I felt watching soccer.
It's been pretty impressive. I think not just to see some of the fan pieces, and you know, I think if there was an opportunity to invest in time travel, time traveling back to get a ticket to go to such match for the four of us who were not there present for it at Munich would definitely be on the top three uses of that time machine. The player commentary that started to come out, Nick, you know, I think the Didier Drogba had an amazing Twitter thread that we were talking about before recording, and just like his third tweet in the thread was just like, after that meeting, I asked a young 23-year-old Juan Mata, please, Maestro, help me win the Champions League. Like we talk about the one Munich memory, but the whole litany of situations, like the dominoes that got us to that point that had to fall, just really like it is last dance level when you think about the execution, like the pageantry in the story.
Yeah. So one of the things, you know, Mike, you were bringing about things you forgot, right? I didn't realize, because Juan Mata at 50 years old and at 23 years old is going to look the exact same. I have no doubt in my mind. I didn't realize that he was that young. You know, and it, like, I probably would have if I transported my brain back to 2012. But that was many beers ago, and I don't know if that's a safe thing to do. So 23-year-old Juan Mata brought in to be the creative savior of Chelsea at that point, you know, kind of an aging spine, you know, with some new, you know, your Ramirez of the world, your Juan Matas of the world. You know, people forgot that Ryan Bertrand, Brandon, had started that game, his first start in the Champions League.
Starting
as a left winger to cover a little bit for Ashley Cole, right? Like, it's and I think the one that I'm now taking away, at least from the commentary yesterday, was how good John Obi Mikel was in the final. Our bud Chelsea Youth was recounting some of his old tweets, and I think it started this thread of people remembering that John Obi Mikel was not just the closer, but he was also a starter. And he played an incredible match in the middle of the park where, you know, Bayern kind of had the run of it for most of the day, Brandon. It was kind of cool to remember like the non-Drogba check parts of the game.
Yeah, Cahill and Louise were in there too, from like people lauding performances, because they were just like, I cannot believe the amount of shots and the things that they threw their bodies into. And Mikel was obviously massively a part of it. I think it was Sky was talking to Steve Holland, which I thought was a really unique perspective, and especially to get him at this time. He was talking about the Barcelona match, and it was funny because his was, oh my gosh, we're in Barcelona, semifinal, we're in it, pre-match, this is great. 40 minutes later, yeah, this is about the worst possible thing we could be at right now. But then he talked about going through the match that, you know, right before Ramirez chipped his wonderful chip, he had picked up a caution. So like he was out for the final. And so like whether or not he knew he was out or not, but like to have the professionalism to kind of manage your emotions in that type of a scenario to then go do what he did is amazing. Again, late in the game, Barcelona with the counterattack, Raul Morelish knows he gets cautioned, he's out. Decides to sacrifice himself for the team, knowing that he's not going to get a play. So while like the final itself was magnificent, all this, like their storylines the whole way. And, you know, people talk about how Chelsea rode their luck, and Steve's just like, it's not luck being down 3-1 to Napoli. He's like, who wants that luck? He's like, it was performances. Now, it was probably improbable, but it was the whole ride, you know, start to finish. And and I think that's what really, Dan, where it's kind of like you take it all in outside of just, you know, the 120 minutes of just craziness. And I, you know, one of my favorite tweets is Chelsea talking about Drogba, and they're talking about how good he is scoring, but also how clumsy is at tackling. I thought that was fair play. And obviously we can laugh at it now, because at the time we were sitting there going, No, he just ruined it all. But you know, you got
He did it two games in a row. He did it against Barcelona and he did it against Munich. And it was like the first time I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. The second time you're like, there's no possible way you're making that challenge without getting a penalty. Like, it's so crazy. And it makes me cringe even now. Like, Dan.
Yeah.
Talk about Petr Cech, who revealed this week one of the saddest things I've ever read on Twitter.
Well, I was going to suggest that we get into power ranking celebrations and trying to figure out which Chelsea player celebrated the best on the winning of the Champions League. But Basingua, I would say
first seed.
I would say Petr Cech probably has to be at the bottom because he revealed that he quote tweeted. Chelsea's like, oh, and from the locker room, like Didier Drogba, really great at celebrating too. And Cech was like, yeah, I wasn't there. It's my first time seeing it. I went straight into doping control right afterwards.
Forever. Not 5 minutes, like an hour.
Well, dude. Look, when you're that flipping good, when you're just like standing on your head, quality good in a match, yeah, I could see it. I mean, look, Chelsea fans knew Petr Cech was that good, so they could have just asked. They could have grabbed a sampling of five random Chelsea fans that evening and said, hey, is he always that good? They would have all said yes, and the doping control test would have been done. That's what they should have done. They should have modified the way that they controlled it.
Mike, is that not the most American thing? Like, you stand on your head. You know, like, I'm thinking back to the Tim Howard, like, 18 saves in the World Cup. He went into doping control right away, too. It's like, if you have such a good performance, they're like, oh, this dude's definitely cheating.
Yep. The NFL, I think anytime a punter or a kicker has a fake and throws for a touchdown, they get immediately tested. So it does seem like the most American doping test ever. Not to take another opportunity to plug Chelsea mic'd up, but we did have Petr Cech on a recent episode, and we asked him specifically about that PK that he saved in extra time, and goosebumps, you guys. Him describing how the ball was the size of a beach ball, and how whoever planned for players to make a 45-yard walk from center pitch to that penalty spot must have been a goalkeeper, because the added pressure of it all, it's spine tingling and goosebump inducing. And I really hope you guys check it out, because it's an amazing answer that he gave us to that 2012 final question.
So I'm on Who Scored, and Petr Cech, far and away player of the match with a 9.8 rating, which is for someone
too
who
low.
Didn't.
Too
for
low,
someone who didn't score a hat trick is pretty impressive. Bayern with 43 shots to Chelsea's 9, 56% possession to Bayern. Actually, Chelsea had 15 dribbles to Bayern's 9.
In your face, Bayern.
Yeah, they had 28 tackles to our 24. They had 20 corners to our 1. We know how much that 1 counted. We dispossessed them 12 times to our 15. It's just talk about
hold up. If you were playing FIFA.
Shithousery.
And you had 43 shots and you only had one goal. Like, and that goal wasn't even that good. Like, oh, come on. Like, that's just horrible finishing. Good
well,
Lord.
I mean, it speaks to the point of what David Luiz and Gary Cahill and the likes of John Obi Mikel. It's just, if you remember that game, Chelsea players were flying all over the place to sacrifice every inch of their bodies to make sure those shots weren't getting to Petr Cech. I just looked it up right now. Chelsea blocked 22 of those shots.
Yeah.
22 of those 43. It's an insane number. My God, 43. I did a double take when you said that, because that's one of those things. How do you forget like 37 of those shots? It's crazy.
Well, it's like Space Jam when they figure out that, you know, the secret sauce or whatever isn't, you know, anything. Like, placebo. John Terry had to go around at halftime and just doing the secret sauce, because it's wild, man. Like, I remember watching it with my best friend in Omaha, and, you know, we were so into it. We had, you know, kind of relived Moscow right before the match, and we were talking about it, and we both walked in there not expecting Chelsea to win. So our expectations were set appropriately. I mean, it was in Munich Stadium. They were the better team at that point. We had five players suspended. I mean, everything going against us. And I couldn't watch the last penalty. I actually couldn't watch any of the penalties, but I couldn't watch the last one especially. And I asked Joe to tap me on the shoulder if Drogba scored. And he laid me out, like completely laid me out in the middle of this crowded bar. And we just went around hugging people we didn't know, taking shots. I mean, we partied for 11 hours. It was awesome. It was the best day ever.
Nick, you know what's weird is I'm not going to say I wasn't at all nervous during the Robin PK and then the actual PK sequence, but there was something hugely calming about that Drogba 88th minute equalizer. Because up until that point, as soon as he scores that goal, I'm like, this is ours. Like, I don't know if the Team of Destiny thing is real, but if there was ever a team to prove the Team of Destiny thing is real, it was that 2012, from the comeback against Napoli to what happened against Barcelona. You can make a 30 for 30 on each one of those matches. And then to get that far, I'm like, the story just doesn't end with Drogba equalizing and then us losing in Munich. They got to see this thing out. And once we equalize, I had that confidence. It's just, it's going to be our day. And then I got really drunk with two other people in downtown Brickell, and no one else knew what was going on, and I didn't care. One of the happiest moments of my life.
I don't know if you know this, Omaha, Nebraska, also, there wasn't a whole lot of care going
Huge on. Huge Chelsea bastion, right?
Yeah, for the Champions League final. But, all right, last question on this, because I'm gonna pivot it away. Who had the best penalty in the shootout?
David Luiz.
David Luiz, balls, man. Are you kidding me?
What in the world was that? Just sprinted, smashed it, like, just underneath the crossbar.
Chelsea's social media accounts. Dude, they were showing all the PKs, and I got nervous watching David Luiz take it again, even knowing that it would go in.
He didn't even think about it. He just walked up, said, go, I'm going. You're like, wait, think, like, strategize. Well,
the best part about David Luiz is that a David Luiz never thinks. There's no point.
No.
You just play with instinct. That's a pure instinct.
There's only one switch, and it's on. It is on all the time.
Yeah, and shout out to Ashley Cole, by the way, whose body was going through so much. Another plug, on Chelsea Mic'd Up, I asked him specifically about that PK, and he so vividly describes what the mental drain is there, what he's feeling physically, his body cramping up, and then having to face with, he is thinking about his entire legacy in that moment, and it was a beautiful shot that he took, Nick.
I mean, it's legitimately the best penalty of the bunch, and it's really not that close, if I'm honest. Like, to side net Neuer is to have such confidence in your own shot that Neuer went the right way and is, you know, tremendous at stopping penalties and didn't really get that close to it. And I remember watching my favorite video of the whole day, and there's so many, but the Kundi studio footage where all the Chelsea TV people are together and they're hanging out, and someone's yelling during the middle of this, and Kundi's like, this is the most important one. Because you got to get back level. You got to, like, put pressure on Avicii Olic or whatever to do his thing. And it was just, Dan, it was beautiful. I think it's my favorite one of the bunch.
Yeah. Look, they're all great. I would say, I do want to, before we kind of close out, go back to our power rankings and celebrations. number one has to be Captain Lear legend John Terry for not even playing a single minute walking out. Full kit situation, shin pads and all, is just
the shin pads killed me. Amazing. He never would have had a chance to play.
He said UEFA officials made him. He was in tracksuit. Really? Yeah, he said he's in tracksuit, and they said if you're going to go out on the pitch, you need to be in full kit. That's his story.
Wow. A likely story. My favorite celebration. It's an easy one. It's iconic, but. When I think of the trophy celebration, I think of Drogba running with big ears in his arms and just sort of scooping up all of that Munich air as he swirls it around. It's just an iconic photo in my mind.
Where's that ranked, Dan?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Was this a power ranking of one?
no one else had offered any objections to it.
Basingua's mine. Bisingua decided that he was going to lift the trophy singularly before Frank Lampard and John Terry rolled up to grab it like they have for the previous 15 trophies. Bisingua was the guy who was running around getting selfies with everyone, pointing in the crowd. Like the dude never played for Chelsea again, and it was the moment. We talked about this before. If you're going to be a role player on that team, you got to set like Raul Morelish, same, like went bananas, but you know that dude parties, so yeah.
we want to crowdsource this. Give us your power rankings of celebrations, top five.
Watch them again.
Turnbull with the kit reversed. Gotta love that.
Turnbull, yeah.
I tweeted us, you know, send us messages, whatever. Let us know kind of, you know, your top three, top five, whatever it was. But to wrap it up, it was fun seeing that while the Last Dance documentary was going on, because you got Lampard just puffing a fat stogie in the locker room, and we come to find out that's just MJ's pregame.
Yeah. God, that's 1/6 of what MJ did a day.
Has a dude ever smoked more cigars than MJ? Good Lord.
Chad Ochocinco.
It makes me feel great about my level of fitness to know that after he does something athletic, he's just pounding a bunch of Miller Lights and smoking 6 cigars. Can you imagine how good he would have been if he wasn't doing that? My God.
What do you mean sports performance and nutrition? I do what makes me feel good. Oh, man. Well, again, that's an easy 20 minutes to knock out. No pressure there. But yeah, let us know again. Where were you? Who were you with? What were you doing? What do you remember about it? Give us your story about it. And then obviously we want, or actually Dan wants your help with his power rankings of top celebrators of the Champions League series. So that'll wrap us up. Again, there was a part one. Go back and check it out. Part three coming at you. What if these Chelsea players played other sports? What would that be? So that'll be a lot of fun coming back with Mike Ryan after this one. So until next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.